Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Good evening. Hopefully you can hear me. I hear my voice. Welcome to Bethany Radio Universe, the Guerrilla Entertainment Network. Here tonight, we're doing a hybrid show. Now, a hybrid show means we pull two shows together because we can't decide what we're going to do that particular week. That's what I mean. And I want to hear both. So we're doing War Council, you know, along with Black Speak Open Mic. Right? So we're going to talk about some topics that we have in War Council, unbeknownst to anybody else. In War Council, we do have an actual group, and we have a chat that we discuss particular issues that we bring up that we want to bring to the podcast. Now, Fly Speak Open Mic, normally, I usually have features and stuff like that. Real hectic day, real hectic stuff. Snowstorm this weekend, snowed in. All the stuff I thought I was going to do yesterday didn't get done because I spent 90 minutes digging a pit from my car to park. Nice. And so I'm still recovering from that. I'm sore, but hey, I'm alive. It happened. So that being said, I'm going to bring some of my favorite people in here. Block out. Talk shop. Do what we do. Make things happen. It's going to get racy. We're going to be serious. We're going to do a whole bunch of things. And if everybody wants to sit, we can. Shout out to the Poetry Corner for having me on earlier, which is cool. Go rock out with our socks out. I better be able to take your socks off. Baby, baby. Now, let's pull these cool people in here and make it do what it do, because these are the best people in the world. In case you didn't know, you need to know. You need to find them out. So, all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to get one of my besties from the great state of Pennsylvania, city of brotherly love, the Philly John, known as the Perla Negra, but we call her Danielle. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, hey. How y'all doing?
Hey.
What's up, Javi?
Hi. What's happening? What's happening? All right. We're going to go over to Erico 540. I know I'm messed up. I'm being on things. I'm sorry if I didn't read the number. Erico 540, who may I speak? Erico 540. Erico 540. We hear you. We just don't hear you. All right. We're going to go to the great state of Virginia. And we're going to go get from Virginia, but by way of Maryland, Lisa Lutz.
Hey, baby.
Hey, what's happening? And happy birthday. Just in case y'all missed
it. Happy birthday. Yeah.
We just going to keep celebrating.
Yeah.
We going to run out of Aquarius season celebrating.
That is what we're going to have happen. So I'm just going to run down the line and just get everybody up in here so we can get to it. All right. So, of course, Father Boston Manager, for calligraphy himself, a.k.a. the pie maker, the pie eater, pie baker. Bad man himself, the tree lot band.
About to go to bed. Can you finish that?
No.
I'm
going to
take
Tylenol,
but...
Vanna, you there?
What's happening, good brother? I am here. Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone on the panel this evening.
Hey, man.
Wait, who's there?
Somebody tell me
who's there.
Tylenol, thanks. I need to take one.
Of course, the other good brother, Dawood, is in here. Dawood, are you in here?
Ooh. Yeah, why you starting to sound so far away, son?
Somebody got a lot of background noise.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's in the train station.
Is this better?
Here you go.
I also have Tanya Gordon. Ms. Gordon, are you there?
Hey, now.
Hello.
Hi. No.
Huh? Hello?
We can hear you.
I don't think they realize their mic is open.
They don't realize the mic's open.
Mm-hmm. Nah, whoever's area code 540. I think that was the note. Unless that's you, is that you?
It's the automatic charismatic.
No, it's not me.
Yeah, that's auto.
You open my mic after you called that 540. That's somebody else.
Mr. Automatic charismatic.
Okay,
I'm going to mute his mic back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did. All right. Well, welcome.
Welcome, morning all. Is everybody feeling good? Everybody's rocking? Everybody's good?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
We good.
So do y'all want to go light or do y'all want to go heavy?
Let's just do this.
Yeah, let's just jump in. All
right. So the thing that we're going to talk about, we're going to start out real heavy like, is we're going to talk about suicide. And we do know that one of the correspondents from Extra, she committed suicide. We do know Regina King's son, Ian, took his life, but this is not a new phenomenon. This is something that's been going on for quite some time. And I do believe that we'll just get alive on it and how it affects relationships. But, you know, most often suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And most of the people who commit it, they have no idea how much is left in the wake of how people are hurt behind their actions. Or sometimes people, they don't get a chance to really fix the problem because they suffer in silence. You know, and it could be over a broken relationship. It could be over childhood trauma. It could be over the fact of them not having contact with family or anything else, or dealing with real emotional problems with no outlet or something to create to the outset to help them go through. So, you know, so I'm going to start with a general opinion. When we found out about Regina King's son committing suicide, what was the first thing that went through your head?
I kind of thought about when she did 7 Seconds, having to play that role, and the interview that they did with her when she talked about how she tried to avoid taking the role because she couldn't imagine being that mother, and just like really feeling so bad for her because this was something that she had already expressed publicly that she didn't know if how she would ever handle something like that.
Mm. Wow. Anyone else?
I have been affected by it directly by a person that tried to commit suicide and a person very close to me that did. She succeeded. And it's very hard to deal with that because you feel so many mixed emotions. A lot of times these people don't call out for help. They suffer in silence, like you said. And then when it's done, it leaves you feeling like, why? What did I not hear? What did I not see? Especially when you spend a lot of time with this person, you never know what's going on inside with someone. It's very, very hard. It's devastating. I hate to say this, but I think it's a little selfish because they don't see what the effects of it leave behind on the people that care about them, that love them. At the same time, they don't understand why nobody is seeing what it is that they're going through. Man, this is a trigger for me. Y'all gotta excuse me for a second. I didn't know you was doing this tonight.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Y'all go ahead, because I can't talk about this.
No, that's okay. Oh my God. So for me, what I thought about when I saw Regina King's son pass away, I thought about the fact that all my children are living. I haven't gone through that yet. And, but I can say that one of my children called me one day with this idea, this thought. It's kind of interesting because I did both a live and a domestic violence class on this today. And I have a friend that's in the class that's a therapist. And one of the things he said is that if people tell you they're going to do it, they're not going to do it. Because basically, you know, they make it up in their mind and then they execute it. They don't want you to stop them, so they won't tell you. So he said to me that if somebody's calling you to tell you about this, they want to get your attention. And he said, if you want my opinion, if they told you on your birthday, then they really, really wanted to get your attention. So I think that it's what kind of strong person Regina King has to be to go on in life knowing that her son passed away, he took his own life, and what kind of feelings that you feel yourself, like, damn, did he do it because of me? Is there something I could have done better? We always be asking ourselves these kind of questions when people do something to their own self, because that's just the human experience. And my heart went out to her because I know, you know, when you choose to take your own life, that's a personal decision. And even if it's caused by something somebody else did to you, it's still a personal decision. And the people that are left there are always thinking, like, damn, what could I have done to stop this? You know, what could I have, you know what I mean? Like, they're always blaming themselves. So my heart went out to her, not only for losing the child, but just the life she has to live now because that child is gone, and she's going to be asking herself these questions.
I kind of am, and I think it's more amplified even because he was born 4 days after her 25th birthday, and he took his own life right on his birthday. So, you know, that's going to put, like, all kinds of ghosts in her system because he took himself out on the day that she brought him here.
You know, we hope that this is not a triggering conversation for most people, because we know it can be. It is a really tough subject because we never want to think of someone willing to remove themselves, knowing that they could be connected to greater sources, the emotions. But, you know, knowing what I know and knowing how I felt, I can tell you that when you're by yourself, you're by yourself. And if you're not connected, if you're not connected to people who are willing to bring you sunshine, you know, and I use that as a metaphorical term, bring you sunshine, improve upon you, make you feel better, talk to somebody, release whatever the negative emotions that you have, or help you learn to convert your negative into a positive, you know, by understanding the gratitude of all the things you do have in your life. It can be a very dark day. Most times that depression hurts. Depression is a serious thing that happens with everyone, and anything can lead to the cause of depression that helps people begin to have these ideations about what it is that they're feeling. You know, and some people, it's like they've just been through such traumatic instances, and they just can't stop themselves from feeling bad. So I know with in particular, my brother cried like a baby. And he told me, he said, he wouldn't know how to live if I wasn't here. And immediately I realized that I was putting my problems onto everybody else instead of actually dealing with them. I was so upset because I didn't deal with my emotions because of deep-rooted trauma of watching my parents go through the stuff that they went through, and knowing that my mother actually really had some serious problems. and that was the answer, so it seemed like a logical one. It's not anything good for anybody else. A lot of times when we're around people, you know, we don't understand that can be really truly connected to people to help ourselves become better if we so choose. But a lot of times when we're by ourselves, we're by ourselves. And the hardest thing about it, you know, is admitting that you can really get past a problem that you didn't think you could get past before. And so mine was rooted because, to me, the only thing that I thought I owned, and you don't really own, you don't own children. You never own children. You are the custodian. You're the custodian.
Right.
Either through your custodian, right? But someone owns the right to take things from you and applies pressure. And then you go through childhood trauma all over again where you're suffering because you're lacking something. There's a lack. There's some type of something. And then you're depressed. You're hurt. You're by yourself. You're doing certain things. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, depression and shame helps people make bad decisions every day. You know, and that's why I like tell people, I was in the city, my mother, my father, three of my brothers lived, and I couldn't tell them I was homeless because of the shame. Because I was waiting for someone to say, you let this person do this. Because we make fun of people when they're distressed, that they're not strong enough to handle their own problems. We go at them in such a way that we want them to, we want to make fun of somebody's plight. And you know, when they're in bad situations or in bad light, we want to make fun, you know. And that's the funny thing is, like, somebody had to put out a meme that we make fun of all the people in their worst situations, and we meme them because we're making fun of the trauma that they're experiencing right in that moment. And most of the times, I remember my father said to me, he said, you were emotionally in the worst situation, and this woman was just screaming in your face. And she was. She was screaming in my face. And she wasn't screaming good things. She wasn't screaming helpful things. She was screaming things like, go ahead, do it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. So when you're around people like that, that choose for you to suffer, you never know who is a bad influence over who, what is happening. And then you add anything else, drugs, alcohol, whatever, it can all make bad decisions towards anything else. But I'm going to land my plane. I've been talking for a minute. I know it's a triggering situation. It's a very triggering conversation. We're going to deal with the heavy stuff, then we're going to get to the fun stuff. So don't think that we're just going to stick here all night. We're going to pass through this relatively quickly after this. We're going to take a couple more comments, and we're going to move forward. So does anyone else have anything they'd like to add?
I'm listening to Dawood and talking about when someone's actually wanting to commit suicide that they don't talk about it. There was a dark period for me where I considered it, and it was divine intervention that stopped it. I had decided that day was the day, and so I created a concoction out of every pill I found and put them all in a cup of hot tea and was stirring in the sugar when my phone rang. And it was a friend who I hadn't talked to in a moment, hadn't called in a while. And he just started the conversation with, hey, gorgeous, what's up? And started talking about the things that were going on in his life and how he had thought of me, and carried on conversation. And as we talked, I just poured the stuff down the sink. And he never knew that he prevented that day.
Wow.
You know, definitely.
That's powerful.
Yeah. My life was in the toilet at that point. You know, my husband had left with no word, had gotten me evicted from the house. I was in the last few days before I had to get out. Had no job, no money. He took everything out of the bank. I was completely destitute at that point and had no one to turn to. And that was what I was about to do when that phone rang that day and changed my whole outlook, because he had a project he wanted me to help him with, and he was just so sunshiny and happy and talking to me about the things that he felt I could contribute to what he was doing, and it changed my entire outlook. If that phone call hadn't come, I would have been gone 8 years now.
Wow.
Mark, I'm so glad that you're here.
There was a lot more for me to do yet.
There's a whole bunch more for you to do. But more importantly, you know, a lot of times we walk around, we don't understand what our purpose is, and we do certain things that are happening, and we don't understand. You know, one of the things that I love to do is, like, if you need to talk or you need help, call me at any time. Like, I'm the person that does it, because I understand what it's like to not have people that really get in your corner. Like, you know, like, my brother passed. One of the first things my father did was sit with me. It bugged me out, because my father didn't say nothing. He just came quietly and sat next to me and asked me if I was okay. And he didn't know, like, how much stronger I had become since my last whatever. So he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, what? Like, you know, and it's bugged, because we gain our struggle muscles from going through something that causes us to struggle. And it's never a hard thing. It's always a difficult thing to go through the worst situations. You know, but more importantly, sometimes it's even better to be there for someone who is struggling, who's going through all that, you know. And sometimes I tell people all the time, you got to check on your strong friends. Your strong friends ain't always been strong.
Absolutely. Right.
Sometimes they just front on themselves or something like that. But, you know, I'm determined to live a full life, to laugh as hard as I can, to love as hard as I can. And so I let everything loose. I laugh. Because if it's funny, I don't stop myself. I cry if I have to cry. I move what I got to move. You know, I bench press everything that's given to me, because I got these muscles and I'm going to use them. Because I think a lot of times when we're in a situation or we're thinking about these things that happen, they're very triggering. But I also marvel at the strength of those people who are survivors, the people who have gone on, the people who have helped people to realize their worth, their value, who they are, you know, and how much purpose that they have. Because sometimes I think also it's the loss of purpose. You know, to me, to lose my children was like the worst thing you could have did for me. You know what I'm saying? And now, like, I was talking to him yesterday, because one of them, he's watching stuff on my Hulu. And it was, like, funny, because, like, they're grown, but they became young again. They were like, nah, Dad, blah, 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 blah. I said, yo, 26, 25, they talking like this. This is the funniest thing. But I was like, I imagine if I wasn't here. Imagine what kind of stress, what kind of drama they never been through. What if there was nobody to fight for my son?
Mm-hmm.
What if there was nobody? what if? And I couldn't live with not being there. So focus on structure. I breathe. You know, a lot of times the very thing that keeps me alive is this poetry and everything else that goes on. But you have any other commentary? Before we move forward, I probably got stuff in the back channel, but I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. So if you sent me something, I wasn't looking with me. I'm going to go look.
You said something. You was going to say something about Brooklyn Shades a minute ago, I thought.
Yeah, no, Brooklyn Shades, you talked me off the ledge, man. Good. He's like, it was like, man, I was in bad shape, bro. I was in bad shape. It wasn't cool. It wasn't cool. And Brooklyn Shea talked me off the set. She had a whole conversation. And the funny thing is that she didn't even know that she did it, but she did. It was like crazy. It was crazy because, you know, Like, it was that ongoing problem. And I just realized, you know, people's demons are different, right? And I realized that people's angels irritate people's demons all the time. And so when somebody wants you to suffer, they want you to suffer because it's something that you're able to go through that they're not able to go through. And so what I've learned about narcissistic behavior and stuff like that, when you're with a narcissist, male or female, they're immediately jealous of everything that you might have acquired or something that you do naturally. And so I was in a bad situation, and the person was like, I wish I had family to bail me out. I wish I had such and such to help me out. I wish I could call somebody when there's a problem. Yeah, I could call somebody when there's a problem. Me being naive and not having the wherewithal to understand that, you know, somebody's about to run a clinic on me. Somebody was about to run up on me, shoot in my face, you know. I didn't know it. Hold on. Somebody just came in. Area code 815, who else is speaking? Code 815.
Is that me?
I think Tanya was trying to get in. Oh.
Hello?
No, Tanya.
Hello?
Oh, this is Gina Storm. Gina, can you
hear
me?
I'm sorry. I stay on mute. It was my bad. Hey, Molly.
Hey, what's going on? You had a comment?
I just
want to
come through and support.
Okay. I'll put you to answer the question, man. I'm going to put you on mute, man. You put yourself on
mute.
All
right.
I'll put you to answer the question. We in the serious portion of this
conversation. I mean, I can answer the question, but I didn't know what it was. I literally just called in.
Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to table you and we'll go to the next topic.
Thank you.
There. All right. So,
okay.
So, no problem. All right. So final commentary. Is there any other commentary that we want to add before we move on?
Well, the only thing I would say is that one thing I did learn from this whole conversation is that you can't take when somebody calls you for granted. If they call you like 2-3 times and, you know, you're busy and or you feel aggravated, you really got to, like, ask yourself, what could that person be possibly calling me for? Because they could be in trouble. They could be going through something like we've all just diagrammed. And I would rather find out from them then later find out, like, you know, basically they did something crazy or something permanent to themselves, and I could have been a part of helping them out of it, but I was just thinking about myself. That's the one thing I learned today.
Okay.
Tanya trying to get in, son.
Yeah, no, I'm reading it now. That's why I said I'm sorry I wasn't in the back channel checking everything. All right. What we're doing right now, just to check certain people up, because I know that I was not looking at the background, so forgive me, because I was just talking. But Tanya, you should be in right now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, you guys.
Hear-
how are you?
What's
so listen, initially I did not want to hop in the conversation because it is one that is very present for me in the very present. And I just wanted to share that today my coworkers brought sunshine, as you guys said, into my life and gave me a drive-by party and dropped off gifts and showered me with love. I have some health issues that I deal with, and recently things got really tough for me emotionally. When Mojave said, check on your strong friends, we say that all the time. But speaking from a strong friend perspective, a lot of times that's a catch-22. We want you to check on us, but yet we want to remain strong. And that's the tough part. I've heard somebody say recently, you never know how strong you are until you have to be. And for me, that's been the situation that I've had to be strong when I don't want to be. I just want to be able to be vulnerable. I just want to be able to show that side of me. But life hasn't allowed that I'm able to do that. And it got too much. And I'm just sharing as a testament to definitely bringing the sunshine, as you guys say, into someone's life that is generally strong, but you know they're facing some challenges. Be supportive, whatever that looks like for them. You know, ask, is there anything? Let them know that, you know, you're thinking about them, you're here for them. Today I was overwhelmed by the love, and it brought my life back into perspective. I think it was said earlier that, you know, everybody is going through a different type of challenge, and we know that, but when we're stuck in our own stuff, we don't really think about it in that way. And when you're loved on, it brings things back into perspective to know that there are people who genuinely desire and need your presence, for you to show up every day, because what you bring to others is more than what you think you bring to them, and you will be severely missed if you aren't here. So I just wanted to jump in and share that just this very day, you know, there was sunshine brought into my life that really blessed me in my situation.
That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying about always being the strong, having to always fend for things. Trust me, I've been in those shoes myself. And it's not that I don't want to be strong. Is that I don't want to have to be all the time. I want somebody else to take the burden every now and then. But, you know, when you ain't got that somebody else, you just have to keep pushing forward. So every now and then, folks come out the woodwork and show some appreciation. It really means something.
Absolutely. All right. You know, the one thing I think is going to be good is that, you know, sometimes it's good to put conversations out in the open, because a lot of times we don't talk about, we think about who our closest friend is, but we can be undergoing so much stuff and not having the ability to talk to someone, or feeling like you need to keep it to yourself, because, you know, sometimes having vulnerabilities allow people to treat you a certain way or act like they can because of that. You know, they don't always estimate your worth and value based on it. They just think that something else is going on. And so, you know, from that, we're going to move on to the next topic. I'm trying to get to it right now. It's just difficult. All right. So we're going to close this out. We're going to do something real quick, real quick. All right. I know Wendell's not here to do his thing, so... But we're going to bring up the situation, right? So we're going to start talking about dating. We'll talk about dating. Are y'all ready? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I was like, damn, I know we just had the heavy shit. I was like, let's get into the fun shit. So we can kind of write the shit, go back to it. All right. So... if you were in War Council, I posted this thing where it's from D-Rock the Kid, a.k.a. Broke Man. All right. And he said, Shorty texted me on accident. He cool. I'm about to eat and go see Jay. I need to be dicked down while sitting at dinner. Right. And it comes from the thread, what is the worst date y'all ever been on? So the question is this. Right, you go out to eat with someone, you're on a date, you're having a date, right? And they mistakenly text you. They were like, this person is cool, but I'm about to go have the best sex of my life with this next person as soon as I get done eating. What do you do?
Boy, bye. Have a good time. Get up and go. I take one last bite, finish my drink, and I'm out. Because I'm always going to have a way home. So, go on, have fun. But he knows it was at that moment he fucked up.
Right. Check, please. All right, what else?
Exactly. No, I'm not getting no check. He can pay for it. Since he's so eager to leave and go deal with someone else. Okay, obviously I'm not the flavor of the evening. So, bye.
Right.
Ain't no love lost.
I wouldn't even talk about it. I would, like, excuse myself to go to the bathroom and then, like, order the most expensive thing on the menu and send it to the table and just walk out the door and let them figure it out.
I'm just gone.
But yo, who ordered this $500 thing of champagne? Who ordered that?
Honestly, I wouldn't take it as a mistake. The text would be a mistake. That's just how I am. I feel like things are done on purpose because people are aware of what they're doing. I mean, it sucks to be you if you do that, but I don't take it as a mistake. So I'm just out. I'm not ordering anything else. Bye. See ya. That's it.
All right, Bell, what do you think? What would you do?
What would I do? Honestly, I don't know. I think I would confront the person. I would actually send it back to them. You understand? I would send a message back to them. I'd be like, hey, you know, so they could see it, and then they would have to deal with it. One thing I would say is that I'm a person that does take women on dates. So, I think I would be very aggravated by that because I know that I'm in the minority. It's not a lot of dudes that take women on dates nowadays. So you had me take you on a date. I was going to, you know, take you out on some, you know, and when I do it up big. And you got this going on? Like, I most certainly would have just sent it back to them and had forced them to do address it. Because that's very uncomfortable. If you accidentally text somebody and you wonder, like, man, I wonder if they got it. And then they send it back to you. So now you got to deal with it. That's kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would send it back too, but it would be after she texted me when, or after he texted me when I didn't come back to the table.
Oh,
when
yeah.
they text right. me, where you at? What you doing? How come you ain't at the table? Are you all right? I would have just sent them back whatever it was they texted.
How come she would text?
No, I'm petty.
Aren't you expecting
you
company?
Hold on. Yeah, thank
like,
you.
Like, I'm petty.
What would you do? I'm petty.
You're going to have to address that right in that moment. I'm saying, like, after I got right. it,
yep.
I would say, until you met me, and send it right back to him. So when he look up from it, and you shame face, be like, so that's what we on? Oh, okay then. Thank you for letting me know what kind of F-boy you are.
Right.
And then I would leave. But you going to address
like, well,
it in
mean,
my face. You ain't going to get to be shame face and a punk. Nah.
No, it's more fun to have them guessing.
Yeah, I kind of like letting
what
people hang stuff. I actually...
What are your favorite movies?
You got to learn. And people need to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to address that right there as I order separate checks.
I was split check. I kind of had
a situation earlier today. A guy who claims to be interested in me, whose birthday is the day after mine. He texted me on my birthday about some work he wanted done. Never said happy birthday. never saw any of my stuff on Facebook. So I never said anything to him on his birthday the next day. And I hadn't heard from him until about an hour before the show started. And he texted me talking about, oh, my birthday was last week. I forgot to tell you what I wanted. I said, I know, because mine was the day before. And you talked to me about work all day that day and didn't remember. And he hasn't said a word since.
Wow. See, me and Van's favorite, one of our favorite movies is what's called Brown Sugar. And if you remember Brown Sugar, the main character, Taye Diggs, his wife, he catches his wife at a restaurant with another dude.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what he does is he goes over there and he sits down with the dude and makes it real uncomfortable. He's like, we're about to celebrate. What? My divorce.
That's my kind of petty right there.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you see situations happen all the time where you see people do shit and they're trying to get away with something or they're thinking about something else. Like, how can I get something up off you? Something else. Like, for example, there's a certain person in our community where I literally bought them a drink. Like, I was like buying them a drink and I was just being nice. Like, I was just being nice. So I wasn't trying to, like, I wasn't thirsty, wasn't anything else like that. And they literally was like they was really running the tab on my shit. And like, because they thought they could. And the funny thing was about it was, like, they were there to meet their man, and they brought their man drinks on my tab.
Like,
oh, God. Cool.
What?
And so to this day, like, certain people, like if you fool around, like, to me, I'm like, whatever it takes, whatever the amount of money that it was, that's the amount of money that it took for you to get the hell away from me, and I never deal with you ever again. So to this day, I remember, I remember, it wasn't no dating situation, but, like, back in the day, SUNY used to have, like, this new university I went to, they used to have this thing called, it was like, you can go down there and get food. And so this dude, Quazy, right, he literally stole my Arizonas. Like, he stole, like, I bought, like, a six-pack of Arizona. He stole,
I remember
food,
him.
Huh?
I said, I remember
so
him.
So he thought he was funny, right? Yeah. He thought he was funny. And so I said, so you're just going to take something that belongs to me and just think it's cool, right? And you know how some people, they'd be so convinced that they did something, and they'd be like, ha, 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 yeah, I got you, blah, blah, blah. You have six. You can spare one. And I was just like, oh, okay. Oh, so you just get entitled with my shit. So the funny thing was, right, so we was taking a cab, right? We were leaving this party. We was taking a cab, right? And he's like, yo, you got money to help me pay for my cab? I was like, no problem. But I got money for me. And I handed the cab driver the exact change that I needed for mine, and I got out the cab and left him to his own devices. To this day, he still tries to friend me, and I won't friend him for nothing. I was like, B, I was like, I know this is a strange hill to die on. I said, but I always remember. I said, that's the pettiness I was on. I was like, you could have just asked me, and I would have gave it to you. Easy. I would have been like, yo, here you go. But you decided to steal from me and smile in my face and act like you're stupid. So I was like, okay, I have no space for those type of people. And more importantly, you know, especially if you're around somebody who chooses to do something like that in a situation where they know for a fact that they're doing some bullshit for you or they're trying to use you in some form of something. Like, you know, that's not something that I'm with anything. Like, I'm not with this. What are you doing? That's crazy.
But, you know, I have a question I want to ask the panel before we move on to the next dating part of this. And this is, I don't want to bring up a bad situation again, but I do want to put a spin on it. In my live, one of the things I talked about is how certain people use suicide as manipulation in relationships, and how you may say things like, you know, like you get ready to leave them, and they'll say, "Oh, I'll kill myself," or whatever. I guess I want to ask the panel if anybody has ever gone through that, because I know I went through that with two different women, and they were using, you know, suicide, I'll kill myself, to kind of lock me into the situation and manipulate. I just was wondering if anybody had gone through that and what their experience was like.
Have you ever sat in front of someone and they pull out a revolver? I'm talking about a six shooter. Put one bullet in there and literally play Russian roulette right in front of you. I have. My nerves were shot. Yeah. He kept spinning the barrel and putting the gun to his temple and pulling the trigger.
Wow.
That, like, I needed psychological help after that because I had never seen that before. I had never experienced that before him. And that was my husband. He was child. Look, I was so, oh my God, I can't even explain to you guys the feeling that went through me every time. Do you ever feel, you know what it feels like when your nerves are coming, are waking up from you, you're a certain part of your body being asleep, that
yeah.
gross tingly feeling, that's what I felt every time he pulled that trigger. Every single time. Yeah. So yeah, I've experienced that. It sucks. It's no fun at all.
Wow.
Ow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I had a situation like that. But the only thing that I did in the end was offer him some help. And I called a helpline while he was there because having gone through the situation myself, I had the numbers in my phone. But it was right after he had crashed me. I was driving the car. He grabbed the steering wheel, turned it into oncoming traffic in the rain, and got out of the car. And when I wouldn't take him back, he kept threatening to kill himself. And then one day when he caught me coming in from work, he seemed, you know, outside of himself. And after having seen my brother deal with things prior to those that I've experienced recently, I didn't want to walk away from him knowing that might be something that he, you know, because you can never really tell when somebody is bluffing or when, you know, they're trying to get attention. You can think it's just ideation, but you never really know. And the worst thing that you want to do is miss a moment where you could have helped and you didn't, when it could have just, but you also don't have to throw yourself on the sword of another person's mental illness by feeling like you need to stay trapped in a relationship, because that person, from the time you mentioned that to me, I feel like you need help. Even if you're just kidding, I feel like you need help. And the only thing that I can give you at this point is intervention. You know, but for someone to use that as a relationship manipulation tool, you can't allow that. And the conversation that we were having before, I also wanted to mention, like, and it draws into this conversation also, you can't put yourself, you can't become a martyr in any relationship to try to save anyone from anything. The only thing that you can do is offer compassionate love in whichever form that comes in. It's okay to be nice to people if you can afford to and it won't hurt you either way, but as far as absorbing so much of another person's toxicity, you can't really allow that, in my opinion.
Well said.
Thank you.
Very well said.
Yeah. Definitely there's some emotional manipulation that goes on when people are doing certain things. And then the other thing is that some people will try to manipulate you because you are a good person, and they use that against you. You know, they use to try to go through things. I remember one of my fraternity brothers, he would just manipulate me and use me as a scapegoat because I had real Boy Scout qualities. Real Boy Scout. That's the best way I can describe it. I know it's hard to tell you now. But nigga. Anyway.
It's hard to see now.
But literally he would, like, you know, and it would be the thing. Like, and the funny thing is, like, there were people around me that felt very free in lying on it. They felt free about it. Like, absolutely free to do it. Like, I'm gonna just tell this lie about him because he ain't gonna do shit. And you know, and he has a strong enough character. He can beat the lie. People won't believe it if I tell him. But I'm gonna tell a lie all the time. People use me as scapegoat. Right, Dawood knows this very well. Mm-hmm. Certain people would use me as a scapegoat and put me into situations that I was never in the first. I wasn't even fucking around. They would say, mm-hmm. "Yeah, but my hobby." I'm like, "What?" And it would be some utterly ridiculous shit. And I just, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I just wouldn't care enough to really say anything about it. But I realized at that point, like, the people who kept doing it, that's the time I should have been punching people in their mouths because it would have stopped them from doing it because they kept doing it over and over and over again. Because they were like, I can get away with this, right? And so people will manipulate certain things around you, and people do that in relationships. My ex used to tell lies about me all the time, which is funny. Even to the point, that's why I was, like, laughing, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, why are you writing about me? I'm like, I'm nowhere around. I'm talking to you. I ain't talked to you in more than 2 years. Why are you talking about me? You know? But to me, it's almost like, try to help. I don't have any power. I need to find someone I can manipulate or say something about to make people feel some kind of way about, because that's the only way that I can receive joy is by making someone else miserable. And there are people who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are very narcissistic mm-hmm. people who love that when you're miserable, they are at their happiness because they're causing
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, they're just hurting themselves. It's the crazy thing. Like, so you just want to hurt me when you're hurting. You feel bad because you can't be by yourself. You know, it's crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people do that. You know, we ain't
classic
else, but,
narcissistic behavior. Yes.
So let's go back to this. Let's get into this dating thing. What dating thing? Hold on, I changed the thing with it. All right. But other than that, that's like, what is the worst date that you have ever been on? Let's go back to that. What is the worst date you have ever been on?
This guy kept sticking his finger in my ear. I didn't understand
it. The hell?
Yes. We were going out. We went out to eat, but every time we were, like, walking to go to a different place, like, we were going to see a show after we finished, after we left the restaurant, and as soon as we were out walking, he put his arm around me, and I'm thinking, oh, this is so, you know, romantic, because I'm really, really, I'm super affectionate. And then he sticks his finger in my ear, like his index finger, and he starts breathing really heavy, and I'm like, what are you doing? That's so not funny. It was like, what are you doing? Get off
Fringe.
Me. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he does it again. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, I was like, okay, I can't. I left. He stopped for a minute. We went in to see the show, and he gets close to me again, and he's holding my hand, and then he rubs his hand up my arm and back around my shoulder again, right back in my ear again. I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm gone. I can't. That was not only the worst, that was the weirdest shit I have ever experienced in my life. And I honestly, I thought he was going to, like, I know now what it is, but back then, and I was like 16 going out with him, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because he was like, breathing like this. I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I thought he wanted to play with my hair, you know, but he like stuck his finger, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I can't do this. I couldn't get home fast enough to tell my mom about it. I'm like, Mom, stick his finger in my ear. What is that? And she just giggled, you know, gave me this smirk. And she was like, well, you know, it's really harmless. It's just some people like. I'm like, it makes no sense to me. I will not be calling him. If he calls me, I don't live here anymore. Okay. Craziness. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, man. It's crazy.
Okay. He definitely has an issue. So come to find out, he was giving you the wet willy, and that was turning him off.
It wasn't. He didn't even step on his finger, though. He just stuck it in there and was like.
maybe he was trying to
try
the finger.
I got the bad day to end all bad
that
days.
That finger was a phallic symbol.
Yeah, it was. I know what it was now with my freaky ass, but back then I was out just learning certain things. I hadn't even been introduced to certain things.
So, that was crazy. Hold on, Zawu, so you got the
what?
The worst thing to run over. You said you got the
worst
thing.
Yeah, you already know the story, so you know what I'm getting ready to say. So, yeah, you know what I'm getting ready to say. So I what's called? I had this one woman that was reaching out to me saying, you know, do you have time to go on a date? You have time to go on a date. And so every time I was like, okay, how about this time? She would cancel. And I was like, what the hell is this? How are you going to ask me to go and you keep canceling? So finally one day I was like, hey, listen, it was the end of the year and I was just trying to get closure at the end of the year. So I was like, hey, how about we go out January, like the first weekend of January? She's like, okay. So she agreed. So that particular day she chose the place for some reason. And I was like, okay. So that particular day, I'm like, are we still on for today? She was like, so then she said, is this going to be for business or personal? I was like, what? What business could we be talking about? So I already knew this was going to be weird. My intuition told me not to go. But like my mentor says, your intuition tells you one thing and you do the other. So long story short, I show up to the date. I get there. Not only is she there with one of her friends, a male friend, she's pregnant.
Oh.
Whoa.
Pregnant. So, but it's not abundantly apparent when you first sit down. I just say to myself, wow, her cheeks is a little bit more chubby than I thought. And so she goes, okay, let's all catch up with each other. I'm having a baby in July. I'm like, oh, shit.
What?
That was the worst date I've ever been on. Yep.
Wow.
All right. I can't believe that.
Wow.
What's her angle?
Talk about
Bobby, you know
I'm going to
use that one, right?
Yeah, I know you're going to use that one.
That was the worst day that ever been on. That was crazy.
Look at this.
You know, I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to get the baby out 6 weeks after that. Ooh, baby.
All the things you want.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But what else is there? All right, anyone else? Van, what's your worst date?
To be honest with you, Mojave, I have never had a worst date. Because I generally would be the ones making the dates with the people that I want to go out with. Very rarely have I been asked to go on a date. But I can't honestly say that I've ever had a worse date. Yeah, I haven't had a worse date, to be honest. I would love to be one of those ones that has those kinds of stories, but I just don't.
No, you wouldn't.
Okay.
Trust me, there's nothing to write home about.
Please, I'm trying to tell you, no.
Yeah.
Be grateful
that
you don't have an anecdote like that, because it's just weird.
I'm still dating, so stay tuned.
don't go over to no weird shit like that. I'm trying to tell you, it's no fun. You can't laugh
so
at it right then and there.
You still have a chance to meet somebody who's really pregnant and gonna blow in your ear.
Oh God!
My thoughts on any of that. You don't want my thoughts on any of that. You
oh,
really
Lord.
Don't. I might be like, this is the right kind of party I just signed up for. Right kind of party.
Oh, Lord. Oh, shit.
No.
Wow.
I'm just telling you, bro. It go through. I remember one time only. I had met a person, and they worked in the mall, and so I don't really think that I was really like it was much more. I was much younger. I think I was like 20, and so literally. I was being nice to her. Like, I was really, really, really being nice to her and trying, you know, she worked in the mall. And I went to her store, and she took money out the cash register and stuck it in the pocket, like, let's go. And I was just like, you know, when you see somebody do something, and you just see it, and you, like, and you try to, like, you're like, she just took a bunch of money off the cash register and walked out the store.
Oh, my God.
I was like, you mistaked me for the petty cash drawer. That's all.
No. Out the like, she opened the, like, she hit the no sale and she took cash out the register, right? And I just knew at this point. But at that time, I think my penis was talking to me a little bit more than I needed it to. So I kind
of
ignored that.
Of course he was. Trying to,
It was talking to me more, right? So the funny thing was, like, so we went, we ate in the mall, right? Now, I didn't have a car at the time, so then we took the bus home. We took the bus home, and she lived off of Lark Street. Now, the problem that I was having is that while I was walking with her, right, different men were asking her where her whereabouts was going to be at certain times. I didn't really understand what that meant.
Well,
didn't know what it was. Didn't understand what it was. So then when I go with her, right, when I go with her to her apartment, right, I had a problem with the apartment because it was so dirty. I felt like if I sat down on something, I would need a tetanus shot.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
This is bad. Right. And then the thing was is that, like, I was trying to be cool, and then she's like, well, we got about a half an hour, so what do you want to do, right? And so I was like, that's the magic words, right? So when I heard the magic words, I was like, you know, like, I was like, come on, penis, activate. Come on, penis. And so I was trying to get it going, right? So it was crazy, but it was like it was so messy, and it was so nasty. And then you know how somebody starts doing something, right? So they started doing something, and then they was like, how much money you got? And then I realized in that circumstance, I was in the wrong circumstance. And I was like,
it was at that moment that you realized.
It was at that moment I knew I fucked up. And I didn't know I was fucking up. So I was like, money for what? And she's like, my sweetness costs money. And I was like, sweetness? Yeah. I was like, what?
I was like, what?
And so it was crazy because you know how people like it was nuts. Like, she went absolutely ape shit. Like, in that moment, like, she's like, you're not gonna give me money. You're not gonna give me money. Uh-huh. And I was just like, no. I was like, no. Right. And so she went to the kitchen. She broke like 3 plates. And then she picked up the knife, and I just ran up out of there.
Oh, wow.
I was out. And so the funny thing was, right, so, in Albany, Lark Street goes always, like, it goes, like, I was by Dunkin' Donuts. So I ran all the way down Lark Street, down to Clinton Avenue. And I was standing down at Clinton Avenue. This is just like you know, and I lived up on Livingston Avenue, so I was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I talked to myself the whole way home, like, you know, you shouldn't have went over there. When she took the money out of the cash register, you should have known when she took the money out of the cash register. I'm going to have the whole conversation about this whole thing. It was the worst thing ever. And then on top of that, I seen her in Dunkin' Donuts, and she's like, you want to buy me something? You know you owe me money, right?
Oh my God!
It was crazy because I was with my mother, and my mother's like, "Who the hell is that?" Who are you owe money to? You know, your mother, who are you owe money? Why are you owe her money?
That's
crazy. Why you owe her money? I ain't the end of that shit. End of that shit. It was bad. Why you owe her money? What the hell you do? You owe her money. That's what my mother was. Anyway. Anyone else?
There's no story to follow that story.
No, I got a worse story than that. I remember I was being chased by a wild Jamaican dude, right? And the dude got my number, called my house, was looking for me. I had to go get an OG to help me out. It was bad. Anyway, anybody else? We'll move on. This other thing, hold on.
Okay, so this was a few years ago, and I was working at a television station at the time. I started talking to one of the other guys that worked there, and we'd gone out a few times, whatever. And so I was comfortable around him or whatever. So this particular night, we had gone out, and he invited me to come back to his house. So we go back to his place, and things jump off, and it is what it is. And so the next day, you know, I'm at work. I see him at work. Everything's cool. And then I start getting phone calls. He had a live-in girlfriend, and I didn't know. And he had his house wired with video cameras. And he had recorded us, and she found the tape.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Oh, man.
She told me everything I had on and what color I had on and what color my nail polish was. And everything that we did, and she was vindictive. She was trying to get me fired from my job and everything.
Wow. Because of him?
Because of him.
Wow.
What a butthead. Jeez.
You know, I always try to figure out, like, when people get crazy like that, and they feel like they gotta get at the person. You know, they hate the play instead of hating the game. You know, and don't look at anything else. First of all, him having cameras all over his house, sue him.
He never learned a lesson from it, because that was, like I said, that was many years ago, and this Negro had nerve enough to, like, come back at me, like, in the last few years, come back at me talking about he missed me, he knew he was the guy for me, yada, yada, yada. But he still live in the same damn house. So I'm never going to set foot in that house ever again. He may as well just forget that.
You just got to sue that dude, keep away from him. It's all kinds of craziness. That's some bloody shit. I have to track them around. Anything else like that, especially when that, you know, because when people's other person starts stalking you as if you're the person, and they'll deal with the person, they happen to think if they can eliminate you, that somehow that's going to eliminate the problem. They can go back to being normal instead of actually dealing with the actual problems that they're having in a relationship based on that. That's nuts.
Right.
Well, eventually, I guess she came to her senses because she left him. But yeah, she tortured my life for a minute.
She's like, I'm just fucking up people's lives. No, I'm fucking up my own. Oh, my God. Let me leave. Man, listen, she knew what she was doing beforehand. She just thought she was doing it. I've watched certain people bully someone else. Like, so the situation was like this, right? So there's a certain individual, right? And this individual was supposed to be talking to this individual. But it was a situation whereby he allowed certain women to, and there wasn't the person he was talking to imbibe upon his turgid member. Turgid member. And she was there, right? So she saw it. And so then she started really trying to cyber bully this one person and tell all kinds of lies and all kinds of stuff about bullying this person. And so when he was trying to bully the person, we was all like, you were standing right there. You watched the whole thing happen. You watched it all go down. You did nothing. So why would you bully this person then when that person thought it was okay? And it was the nuttiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I don't know. I'll be around a whole bunch of shit. I don't even know how stuff be happening. But literally, they was bullying this person, like literally bullying this person, like super bullying. I was like, how are you bullying somebody when you saw, you watched, you did nothing? And now you want to be mad at this person because you felt like this. And the person was like, and the funny thing was, what blew the whole spot up is the dude was like, we don't even talk. So you acting like this is of your own accord. You just feel like being mean to somebody because it didn't work out. He's like, I need my woman to be close enough to me. You live this many states away. There can never be a relationship. And it was a wildest thing I had ever seen. But, you know, some people, they just go around, they just be blaming people for other stuff that should be happening, other stuff that's been happening. But anyway, let me see. Wendell needs to be here, man. We was going to bring up his thing and we didn't even get a chance to do it because he's not around. But we'll wait till next time. What did it do? All right. So I put this up in the group as a thing. I said, what if they didn't really break your heart? What if you mismanaged your own expectations and broke your own heart because you expected something that was never established or communicated? So I say that because certain people, they deal with people and they think that they're in relationships with people. They think that they're doing something with another person. They think that these things exist without it ever being established, right? So have you ever been in a situation where someone mismanaged their expectations of the relationship and thought that either you were more than you were or they thought that something else was actually occurring and it really wasn't and you had to, you know, let them down slow or do a this is Sparta kick. Kick them off.
Yeah.
Either or.
I don't
They're
mean to offend anyone. But yeah, try dealing with a Gemini. You go through that shit.
Mm. Gemini shit.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell you, they have this thing worked up. Well, the ones that I have experienced, and I've experienced this with each individual one that I have dealt with. This one side of them where you're supposed to be like some kind of psychic and know what the hell, you know, their next move is supposed to be. And then there's another side where they show you that, like, how can I explain this? Like, they make you think that you're actually in a relationship with them at a certain capacity. And then the other side is like, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing here? In a sense, mentally. And I'm like, okay, I can't do this. I mean, the fish in me swam the fuck away each time because I couldn't deal with that double-sidedness. It's I don't get it. I don't get Geminis. I never will get them. And they're just, the only thing Geminis and Pisces have in common is we both are street runners. That's it. We like to stay on the go. That's it. Other than that, and we can be entertaining. But being in a relationship with one man, I'm trying to tell you, that takes two different kinds of patience. Okay? Mm-hmm. And some psychological shit you got to be on. I'm trying to tell you. My friend is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for me.
I don't know if I said amen, but amen.
You did.
I'm trying to tell you.
They'll have you thinking you need to go to school and get a degree in psychology or some shit because it's whew, child, I'm trying to tell you. You got to be, it's like you got to be a psychic to deal with them fuckers because they really expect you to understand the ass backwards twisted shit. It's like they're inside out, upside down. And like, you supposed to, I'm supposed to what? Who are you today? What am I, who am I getting today? Really? Do you love me today or we just associates? What is it? Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. Cougar for Cocoa Puff. Oh, you love me? You do? Which one of y'all? From real shit. This is crazy.
All three of y'all.
I can't.
Shout out to Gemini
for being
the sign. Shout out to him.
Shout out to him for being what kind of sign?
Bipolar.
Yeah, you got that right. Bipolar shit. They tripolar. Quadpolar.
So I started dating again when I was 32, and I was not aware that the rules of the game had changed. Rules of engagement weren't quite what they used to be. And so I thought that, you know, after a certain amount of dates, after you cross a certain threshold, that we go together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, I quickly learned, oh, no, that's not how that new dating world works. Even if you cross a certain threshold, we don't go together unless I say we go together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been the one on the receiving end of thinking that something was more than what it was prior to having a conversation because I thought, you know, the natural progression of things in the past, which I hadn't dated at that point when I started dating again at 32. I hadn't dated since I was 19, 20. So, you know, it was like, whoa, shell shock difference. But, of course, over the last 11 years, kind of playing pickup sticks. You learn as you go, I guess. Learn as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Wow. I mean,
yeah. Who else has been in a bipolar relationship?
I have one. Mm-hmm. See, I experienced a Gemini, but he wasn't the type that y'all are referring to. Like, he was controlling. He was very
controlling.
So that was interesting to me.
Yeah, they were all controlling. Yeah.
So
I just don't think they know that they're in control. They controlling sometimes. They need to let their other side of them know what the hell they doing.
Go ahead, Angelina.
I had a crazy situation when I was. This is when I was about 19 years old. I was working for the phone company. And you know how you have the work friend? I didn't know how deep that can get. So we used to work, I was working as an operator. And we used to work split shifts where you had like hours in between. And I had, so we used to hang out sometimes as a group. Sometimes it was just he and I. But he was married and had a wife, but he also had a work girlfriend that he constantly talked about to me. So I'm thinking I'm just the buddy, you know, we're friends, but you know. So at any rate, one day on one of our split shifts, we were going to the movies, and the other people that were supposed to go with us had backed out, but we were still going. And then he, like, leaned in for a kiss, and I'm like, wait, hey, what's going on? And then he really started yelling at me and screaming like I was a tease or something that I was leading him on. I'm like, but I know that you already got your hands full with two different women that you talk to me about all the time. How was that? How was that? I don't know, but that was the craziest situation like that that I ever went through.
He was a hoe.
He was
right.
He had all kinds of work boots and work wives and all that. He was a hoe. That's all.
He couldn't
he was very
even
entitled.
Juggle those two correctly.
Very self-entitled.
He was trying to get all he could get.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He might have been a Pisces. Pisces men are whores. There you are. What are you trying to say? I know for a fact. Let me stop. I'm offend people. I really don't. I'm just speaking from experience. Sneaky ass. You ever see that movie, was it Waiting to Exhale? Where Layla Roshan is like a hoary, sneaky Pisces. Yes, Pisces men are hoary. They are sneaky. I'm speaking from experience. I'm trying to tell you, they are. They are horrible. As sweet as they can be, they just, oh, Lord. They put the eek and sneak, I'm trying to tell you. Oh.
Eek and sneak.
Get out of the eek and sneak.
Yeah, one of them was I was best friends with one. And he, oh, goodness. I got male cousins that are Pisces, and they're all the same. Like, I just couldn't look at them like, never. I would never. Mm-mm. Even my brother, my twin. God bless his soul. He was, oh, Lord. Because they think they king dingling, but it's supposed to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And they're good lovers. But, you can't try
What is king dingling? Someone explain
king dingling? King dingling? It's just the whore side of them because they are good lovers. Women fall for them very, very easily because they're very charismatic. They're very, very sweet. They're very understanding. We as Pisces can get in your head. And
yeah, sure can.
They tend to, excuse me, they have a tendency to pull a lot of women. And because they can, they do. And that just makes them think that they are king dangling because we as Pisces have massive egos. We don't show it because we can be very humble. But
yes, Lord.
Man, but, over there in the amen corner.
First ex-wife was a Pisces. Don't come for me.
Okay. We're
she's
talking
a female
about
version.
The male.
She's a female version.
We are talking
exactly
about the male Pisces now. We are talking about the male Pisces, okay. Can't nobody tell me about
amen.
A Pisces. I am
I'm
one,
saying
okay.
Amen because I've had female bitch, so amen.
Okay. But that's what it is. You know, they feel like it's like a natural sex appeal that they have, and they recognize this after getting so much attention, and they just like monsters. That's what I mean by that king dangling thing. They just like, and they have this fucking look in their eyes. Oh, I can't stand them. And the sarcasm and the arrogance. Oh my. Okay, I'm done. I can't.
Get a moment there.
That is one sign I
will
never Pisces men. Pisces men. Nobody knows a Pisces male like a Pisces woman, and I'm a twin to one. So trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Okay. They're a trip. And a trap.
They sure are. Yeah. Ooh, they sure.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Van, we are talking about Pisces men.
I'm just agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
I mean, don't get me started on Aries.
I like she's going to start
anyway.
About Aries, man.
Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself.
Well, see, I haven't dated an Aries man, so I know you guys are cool, but y'all got control issues, man. I'm just telling you, you guys just sweet, very, very sweet, but
according to you, every sign that you mentioned got control issues, so I'm kind of confused.
No, not every sign.
No, see, but the ones, listen, that's what I want to ask. I want to ask the woman.
Geminis do have control issues, and Aries,
wait,
you do have control issues.
Hold on.
What sign doesn't? Cancer. Cancer?
My father's a Cancer. He got all kinds of control issues.
My ex-husband is a Cancer. Yeah.
I've never experienced the controlling side of Cancer. I know that you guys think they can get extremely cold and distant. But I haven't seen a controlling side to Cancer.
What is control issues to the woman on this panel? Because I keep hearing controlling, and a lot of times I think men don't understand what exactly y'all mean when y'all say controlling. So please define what's controlling to you.
The control issues with me is I am not supposed to voice my own opinion at times. If I disagree, there's an issue with that. We can't just agree to disagree. It has to be their way or no way at all. If I am not available, I'm doing something wrong. Just all kinds of bullshit, man. That's what I call very controlling to me. I'm not supposed to change my mind.
That sounds more narcissistic than control, but okay.
Narcissists do have control issues because they have a facade to keep up. So they have to be in control. I think I've met a lot of narcissists because they feed off of my good energy.
Narcissists feed off of empaths. They love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They do, but they feed off the more sensitive ones. We're all empathetic at some point, but some are more sensitive than others, and that's what they feed off of.
Well, we may have control issues too, most certainly. They have things that they control and want to, you know, create the outsets and think, you know, it'll work better if I do it my way. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Anyway, real quick, I have to hurry. It's 10:53. It is a school night. Ben Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in the rest of the Disney Radio Universe for the rest of the week?
Absolutely, it'd be my pleasure. Join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is going to be Express Your Vibe with Ms. VIP. Saturday night, y'all, Poetic Therapy. Stan, the Man Phillips, and La Perla Negra. Sunday nights, The Inspiration Factory with Divine Inspiration, Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is Do What You Like, Mr. Metaphoria, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for one of Mojave's great shows. He'll let you know which one that is. Mojave, back to you.
Thank you, Van Metal. That would be great. I appreciate it. We're going to have fun.
Anyway, my pleasure.
This conversation. All right, so real quick, we only got like 6 minutes in the broadcast. What was the sign, if we're talking about, what was the sign that gave you the best sex?
That gave what?
Gave you the best sex.
The sign that gave you the best sex.
The best.
Mm-hmm.
Libra.
God dang on Scorpio.
Yeah.
Scorpios are good. Now they are good, but it wasn't the best I've had. Scorpios are. Ooh, Lord.
What happened? We said something about Scorpio.
Oh, man. It's no whole barred with Scorp, that's for sure.
Only sign I found to match my nastiness. Period.
Nobody else had a best sex with a sign? I want to hear.
I ain't going to sit here and close my colon. Close my whole colon. Nah, I just think every sign is different for whatever they decide to do. That's going to make you say, all right, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, I had to read about it by how much trouble I got in. I was like, how much trouble did I get in for this one versus that one? Trying to figure it out. Anyway, that being said, I'm not gonna draw this out. I want to thank everybody for coming out this evening, having a good time, having tough conversations, surrounding the topics of your surrounding, having a good time. I'm very thankful for all you. I'd like to thank Ms. Tanya Gordon, Adrena for sitting in, Dawood, Lisa Lick, Van Meadows, La Perla, La Negra, and you, 646. We don't know who that is, but we don't thank you anyway for coming out tonight, having a church discussion with us, and hanging out with the good people. We will be back with War Council next week to clearly define goals and everything else like that. It'll be really nice. You'll love it. We're going to talk about some serious stuff, full panel, of course, and we're going to have a good time. So, that being said, I love you guys. See you next week. Talk to you soon.
Good night. Hey.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night, one and all. Thank y'all for coming. God bless y'all. Good night.